B-Pod Studios.
We're facing a very good defense. Like, they're facing very good defense from us. Even last night, with some of the shot making they made in the fourth quarter, you know, we're still able to hold them under 100 points. You know, we were able to generate some open looks. I understand what they're willing to give up. But again, are we getting to our identity? Are we getting to things that are in our wheelhouse and our strength zones? And I think we did a much better job of that in game five than we did game four. Game four, you know, they had us flattened out virtually everything that we were trying to do. We're also, our defense is capable of doing that to them.
It's still undetermined who you're going to play in the next round. Who would you like to play?
I mean,
be honest.
I think both teams are tough. You know, Boston causes problems, especially offensively.
Draymond.
Their defense is incredible.
How long we been boys, Draymond? I want the honest answer, Draymond.
You're asking me who I want to play. I'm going to tell you who I think we're going to play. We're going to play Boston.
Okay. That's okay.
That's who we're going to play.
Thank you. That's the Draymond I know.
Draymond Green stating the obvious as Golden State is waiting on Thursday for most likely the Celtics to come in and start the NBA championship.
Boy, Vegas loves the Celtics tonight. They love them. 8.5-point favorites.
And you gotta, I mean, why wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, it all really kind of just, it depends on whether or not the Celtics implode. It's truly one of those situations where if indeed you get the same players on the court that you had in game five, then it would be a disaster if the Celtics didn't win that game. If Robert Williams is on the floor, I mean, they're going to win.
Even without Robert Williams, they started the game 0-for-6. There was stretches where Robert Williams wasn't out there, where they couldn't make a shot. Basically, you have by far the two best players in this series. Let them score. Let them be. Like, Felger and Maz were talking about this. Like, all these people want to give, like, White and outside of Robert Williams, but, like, White and Smart, like, all this credit. And it's like, it really just comes down to their two stars. When they play well and score, the Celtics win. And that's the thing about basketball. When it keeps going for this long and long, basketball is a sport that does not require this level of analysis.
But I guess the problem is that it's not only that, you know, you guys are scoring, but you had massive Jaylen Brown problems for a while on turning over the ball. So you could have him be a prolific scorer. I mean, what was the game that he scored?
He had 41,
like a game high, but they ended up losing.
Yeah, but Tatum was
40.
He scored 41, and Tatum didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. Tatum disappeared. If both of them can score, I like you 99.9% of the time.
Right.
And that being the only, like, literally the only factor.
But
the two of them getting off.
But in fairness, it's been inconsistent with those guys, unfortunately, just as of late. And my whole thing is that the only way that the Celtics can blow this tonight, in my opinion, is if Robert Williams is out and Tyler Herro is in. And that is the only question that seems to be legitimate on the injury report for Miami. Now, there's like seven names on there, but it's like, I mean, if Kyle Lowry's going to play, even though he sucks.
Yeah. Do you want him to play? Herro can play all he wants. He's not, you know, Jordan. He's not going to. So he scores 20. Big deal.
Well, I mean, as I said, he is the one guy that consistently can hit the perimeter shot right now on this team. Because it used to be Strus. I don't know what's happened to Strus. I mean, he was, I guess, for the second half of the season, all-world three-point shooter.
I'll tell you what happened to him. He sucks.
Well, he doesn't. That's the thing, is he doesn't suck.
Really? Where'd he go to college? When did he get drafted? He sucks.
Well, this season, he did not suck. Like, he was this team was Water a great three-point shooting team.
Water has found its level.
Well, see, but with the Heat, it's not like that, because you have a bunch of great players other than Strus. Strus is obviously someone who is a feel-good story. He came up and, like, I mean, hell, it was the Celtics trash. They threw him away. And then he goes to the Heat. So in that case, yes, that's found treasure. But, I mean, you got guys like Duncan Robinson who are paid a ridiculous amount of money to hit
who
only
sucks.
Threes who can't hit threes. He doesn't suck. He's a great three-point shooter.
Duncan Robinson sucks. He doesn't even play for them.
Well, Duncan Robinson has had to play. And the reason he does is because Strus has been so good.
Because he doesn't play because he sucks. Well, he's a liability.
Once again, he is a good three-point shooter. He's a great three-point shooter in this league.
Part of the reason Miami has been able to get this far is because Strus has been that secondary scorer. He was a very good three-point shooter. Not now, by the way. Not now, but he has been up until now.
And a decent amount of that has to be credit to the Celtics. They've been excellent defending the perimeter this entire playoffs. But
did you go back and watch any of the game again?
I mean, highlights. I didn't watch the whole game twice.
Yeah, I watched a lot of the game again, just to make sure. I'll take notes next time, but a lot of open shots. I mean, you can't even conceptualize how bad Miami was shooting.
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
It's just awful.
Well, I mean, the Celtics have gone through runs like where they couldn't hit anything, and they'd have open shots. We've seen that throughout the playoffs. There's been periods of time where they can't hit anything. With Miami, though, you know, you do have to give credit just to the complete lack of three-point shooting. You have to give some credit to the Celtics because they've done it through all three rounds so far. They've taken these teams that have been very good at shooting the three, and They've stifled it. Yes, they've stifled it. The numbers have gone down, and you have to give Celtics some credit. But you're right. There's some of those open shots, and I do also believe that a lot of these guys are playing hurt. I mean, the Jimmy Butler thing. There's no question he's playing hurt. The shots that he's missing, like right under the bucket, and you can tell too because a lot of the ones are coming up short.
And he's not looking for his offenses nearly as much. Usually in a game like Game 5. And Butler seeing his team struggling as they were from the outside, the Jimmy Butler who's healthy goes and takes that game over, or tries to anyway.
Sure.
And there was none of that at all.
No, he was giving the ball up, and he wasn't taking control of the game at all. He was what do you call it? He was facilitating.
He was passive,
checking down.
Well, yes. I'm just saying, don't write off Miami yet. Until we find out who's actually playing tonight. And as much as Tyler Herro has not been that great, you know, he does make a little bit of a difference, especially
he scored 20 points a game. He was the NBA sixth man of the year. He's good.
He makes a difference.
I don't think he's the difference.
He's also a guy that all men truly want to be. And I don't know if you saw the photo that I posted of him standing in the side court wearing his I Want It That Way Backstreet Boys white linen shirt.
Not buttoned. The linen shirt was not buttoned.
I believe
the wind blow it all over the place.
John, I might need a little detective work here. Were those shoulder pads that he had?
I didn't notice that. Is that right?
There might have been a hint of a shoulder pad in there.
Well, I know that he did buy the outfits from Working Girl.
Right. He just said, Melanie Griffith, that's mine.
He finally saw the 80s romantic romp Working Girl and decided to buy the entire outfit. All the outfits, but people did unnecessary things like adding a goatee to him, which I don't like.
He
looks like enough of a douche with just that little speckle of hair under his chin.
So I posted a picture of him and those two dudes who were like second row, who were like total. I mean, Jersey Shore. One guy had like the muscle like tank on, and the other dude had like the headband on, and he had the completely airbrushed face with the blowout hair. And apparently, one of the guys in that picture. Like found my photo that I was tweeting about. It was like, yo, check it out, I'm famous. I'm like, all right, man. So I checked out, I clicked on his picture, and he's everything you think he is. He's, you know, probably club promoter or something like that. But
club promoter.
Now you want to get bottle service, baby? I got your hookup. So, but the one thing you can say about Tyler Herro is he is indeed fresh. He is boss. He is absolutely next level fly.
He's off
the
hook.
As the kids like to say, oh, yes. I mean, if there's anyone who is definitely the definition of.
He's got major drip. Those auburn tinted glasses he's sitting there. Very important.
I mean, we've of course heard him, you know, talk before in the draft about his drip.
You know. Paid off, but the journey's just starting.
Well, I hate to tell you, but the boys over there have been hating on your drip a little bit. You know, Bill has had an Instagram post about it, calling you Austin Powers. I don't know if you had a message for him or you want to talk to him for a second.
Speaks for itself. I mean, look at it. Best drip here.
And honestly.
All right. Okay. So, obviously, he's a very cool dude.
From Wisconsin.
Yeah, he is. And if you didn't know, he likes to go out with his friends and go get, like, haircuts at the barbershop. This is a little clip that the Miami Heat put up on their website. This is Tyler. He's just one of the guys. Let's take a listen.
I told you what I get.
Yeah.
You can take a little bit off the top, too.
Preparing for my magazine shoot tomorrow morning.
Baba, that's my right-hand man.
We go way back.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
He's like a big brother to me. You know, it's love.
Paying how
how sweet. I've been on rough for 2 weeks.
That's what you wrote to that kid?
Whole world know I'm a freak.
Hang on a second. Are they all like rubbing each other and talking softly into each other's ear? Like, what is this vibe that we're in?
What is that vibe rating we're in?
Yeah, well, it sounds like, you know, someone's getting worked over while the other guy's like, hey, it's cool.
Penthouse suite. I've been on rough for 2 weeks.
That's what you wrote to that kid? Yeah. In the penthouse suite.
Whole world know I'm a freak.
Hey, stop it. That's what you wrote to that kid.
It's like Batman almost. He's like hip-hop Batman.
No, it just sounds like they're like about to like really get after it sexually. And I'm not making it up. Like, if I was with like someone and they were talking like that, I hate that.
I've been on rough for 2 weeks.
That's what you wrote to that kid? Yeah. In the penthouse, hey.
Whole world know I'm a freak. Just did 200 for a post last week. Never broke again. You're not in my league.
All right. So that's Tyler Harrow. And Fred, you have pointed out very much many times that he is from nowhere, Wisconsin.
Yeah, he was getting his afro tightened up there.
He says from nowhere, Wisconsin.
Yeah, he's like, can you tighten up my fade? Because, you know, this white kid from Wisconsin was straight hair. Can you tie my fro? All right, Harrow, you're white.
And you said someone who comes from the upbringing that Tyler Harrow did, like, why is he, like, how does he talk like that? And to that, Fred, I say, I have found a video of him being interviewed when he was about to go to college for the first time.
Oh, great.
Oh, wow. Great. Oh, I can't wait.
I would like to hear this.
All right.
Yes.
Here is Tyler Harrow right before he goes into college. Let's take a listen.
How would you describe yourself as a player right now?
I think I'm getting more creative all around. I think I used to be labeled as just a shooter, but I think now.
He's got a full-on Wisconsin accent. Oh, what a poser. Oh, what a horrible poser. Oh, it's worse than I ever thought. Ew. In that 1 year in Kentucky, he finally was around black people, and he was just a sponge. Just he's the imitator. I can't even think of an imitator. He's the who's the guy who did voices?
Rich Little
of real life. Like, he just went and like he just like
it created a persona.
Know, yeah, you know, it's kind of tough out there. You know, we're doing our thing, and then he goes, yeah, you know,
getting more creative all around.
You know, just going out there. You know, we're trying to chop some wood, and then 2 years later, yo man, can you tie up my fro? Come on, man. Yeah.
Oh, what, you got more to say there, Taylor?
Getting more creative all around. I think I used to be labeled as just a shooter, but I think now I can create for others. Defensively, I think I'm improving and I'm getting stronger. So, you know, I'm just trying to improve everything in my game right now. My coach wanted me to play a little bit of the point so I can get the combo guard in my game. So, I mean, I like having the ball in my hands. So, like I said, I can make plays for others.
And what can you tell us about your background, you know, where you're from originally, you know, how long you've been playing, any athletes in your family, some stuff like that?
I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Had a few 45-point games, you know, I was getting 40.
I mean, this is great because he's like Nick Hexum coming up from 3-11 with the fake patois. He's invented a character.
How, as an adult, can you just go, I'm switching entirely the way I talk? In front of black guys too, like in front of black guys, like you're just like, oh, I like the way black people talk. I'm gonna talk exactly like that. I'm gonna talk
best
like
drip here.
Best drip here.
I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Had a few 45-point games.
A couple 45-point games.
I just came. I came over here listening to some Hootie, and really gets me jazzed up for the old games. Then a year later, I don't know what you know. What I'm saying, heard what I said. Know what I'm saying?
I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, no, I'm from Harlem. You know how that be? I'm playing at Rucker Park.
Oh, ew.
I mean, he went from
Simmons shoot around before going to college. He's got the headphones on.
I mean, in a year's time, he completely changed the way he talked. That's amazing. That's like Madonna when she was dating that Richie guy.
Guy Ritchie, and she had an English accent all of a sudden.
She just like picked up an English accent. And by the way, with like the internet and TV and everything, like you don't get like, just because you're like rooming with a black guy, you don't like just change the way you talk completely. Oh, he's the worst.
I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yes, you are. Yes.
Yeah, the hotbed. Known for its racial diversity and its racial harmony. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Oh, that is great.
I thought you would like that.
That is like just, I can't imagine doing it. I can't imagine having the balls to just go up to a bunch of black guys and be like, yo, I be from Wisconsin.
I think I'm getting more creative all around.
All around. I mean, there it is right there. I mean, it's like Norm Gunderson from
Fargo. I think
Fargo.
I'm getting more creative all around.
I mean, he had to, oh boy. If you're a black guy, come on. Don't let him get away with this crap.
You don't think they know? Honest to God, that press conference where Bam Adebayo was sitting next to him and he had the shades on and the tank top on. Bam Adebayo looks at him and goes, you got to be kidding me. Seriously?
What are you doing here? Because if he dressed that way but still spoke, the dress is like whatever, like, you know, whatever. Like, he dresses like what I think is clownish, but other people might think it's the greatest. So, like, what do I know? It's the entire, his vernacular, his voice, like, everything is an imitation. Like, he's imitating black people. And if I'm a black guy, I'm like, what are you doing? Right? Like,
oh, I got 45-point games, you know, I was getting 40.
Oh, that shot you got there is pretty sweet.
So, like, Key and Peele's first episode is kind of about them being half white and half black and how they have to, like, change, like, in certain situations. If you're Tyler Harrow and you meet guys like Key and Peele that are mixed race and, you know, have to go through this for a lifestyle, what do you think their reactions are to a guy that just comes and goes, the whitest guy in the NBA is to be like, yo, what'd it be, Key?
I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yeah, you know,
someone said, oh my god, Harrow is Felger.
Yeah.
Getting more creative all around.
Oh, how funny would it be if Felger got on the air today? It was like, yeah, man, you know, I was hanging out with Ed OG back in the day doing my thing. Oh, well, that's it. That's fantastic. There you go. I love it. Just people have no sense of what's going on. In the more hickin' area you grow up in, the more likely you are to do it. So God bless them.
I think I'm getting more creative all around.
Yeah.
That is just the best.
Now playing from the barbershop.
Oh, yeah.
Because we haven't played that in a second.
Yeah, Dan's like holding up his hands. Like he's got to switch all around and do all that.
All right. Well, very good. That is good stuff. We will be back in just a moment.
The games are only half of it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's called the Toucher and Rich Show, but you can't forget Wallet.
You explain it to me, John. Explain it.
Honey.
Did you call him honey?
I did. It's just like the argument I had with my wife last night.
Pull it.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
We are Toucher and Rich.
Just real quick, Fred, just to wrap things up in the last break, and then we can move on. Jimmy Butler, I mean, sometimes you got to love the guy. He was doing an interview about Tyler Harrow, and this is one of the first things he said.
He's confused, man. He's from Milwaukee. The kid thinks he's black. He got all types of going on with it.
So even Jimmy Butler has called him out, out Tyler Herro.
I think the whole team, when Harrow's not in the room, like, can you believe this guy?
I mean, he's confused. He's confused.
He's confused, man. He's from Milwaukee. The kid thinks he's black. He got all types of going on with it.
It's true.
Seriously.
I mean, and the idea that he just in a year, in literally, because you have him as a senior in high school audio of it, and then audio of him at the draft, that's a year. So in that year's time, he completely changed his persona, his language, and the way he speaks. It is really fascinating and continues with it. Because who's going to, because, you know, people want things out of him and he's famous. I mean, who's going to call him on it? And I just wonder when he's 60 and, like, on the porch, if he's going to, like, still be talking like that. Well, you know, can I get some country time lemonade?
Well, this was kind of funny because last night we played the Draymond Green clip where, you know, Draymond Green was asked, who would you rather face? And he's like, it doesn't matter who we're going to face. We're facing the Celtics. Which, you know, I mostly agree with it, although I'm not, I'm a little superstitious, I guess, and I don't want to, of course, start dancing around yet. But Charles Barkley, on the other hand, yesterday after Draymond Green and the Warriors won, he had a fairly bold statement saying that he believes that, of course, he said without Harrow, the Heat are not going to beat the Celtics. He, like me, thinks that Harrow is an important piece, especially if Rob Williams is out. And then he said the Celtics are going to win the series. And they are going to win the world championship because they are the best team remaining in the playoffs right now, in my opinion. Kenny Smith even said there's no edge that Miami has over them. He said they have a great basketball team. From day one, I put Boston versus Golden State in the finals. The separation here is the three ball. Miami can't separate themselves. They don't have three-point shooters to make it an eight-point lead, much less 14. He goes, if the Miami Heat are able to contain the Boston Celtics off the dribble, they've been able to blah, blah, blah. But Charles Barkley once again repeated after that the Celtics are going to win the world championship. So Barkley is all in on what the Celtics have to offer. And if you take a look at the way that they have played against Golden State, first of all, I do not believe that. I think if the Celtics ended up making it to the finals, first of all, that's a massive win. Like, just for the Celtics organization, for what they've been able to do this year, that's massive.
Where they were in January, sure.
And they've finally gone, like, the next step. You've had Jason Tatum make it to three Eastern Conference Finals. I think Jalen's been to four now. So they keep going back, and finally, knock on wood, they'll be able to crack into the finals. And it's not like you're going to be losing to a team that you should lose against. Golden State's Golden State. They're the guys who have played together for years. The chemistry's there. They got one of the best coaches in the league. They've got one of the best defensive players in the league, and obviously one of the greatest shooters of all time. Are one of the best. This is one of those all-time, you're going up against the best. And this has been a
good
gauntlet
defense,
the entire
too.
Way.
Very good defense.
There's no shame in them losing in the finals. It would suck them getting there and blowing it because, listen, there's no guarantee that you're going to be able to beat Giannis next year. And I'm sure, you know, the 76ers are going to try to do whatever they can to beef up that team.
But as I said, this run, and we said this after they beat Milwaukee, this run the Celtics are on, when you look back at this in 20 years and see how many Hall of Famers they had to get through just to get to the finals, if they're able to run the table, I mean, how many Hall of Famers, including head coaches? Spoelstra's a Hall of Fame head coach, Kerr's a Hall of Fame head coach, and then you have all those players, Durant, Irving, Giannis, you know, who knows about anybody else on that roster, but, you know, Jimmy Butler, Eric Spoelstra, and then you have Curry and Draymond Green.
Well, this
and
will
Clay
make
Thompson and Steve Kerr.
This is myth-making. This will make Jason Tatum unanimously one of the best players in the NBA.
But this Celtic team, you'll look back at this run and go, oh my God, can you believe they did that?
Yeah.
All these great head coaches and players, and this is the most difficult possible road to do this.
Now, the one thing that I will say, despite me believing that Golden State will win, that I don't think it's going to be any kind of blowout. I think it'll be at least six games. Matter of fact, I'd probably say it would be Golden State in six if I had to make a prediction if the Celtics end up moving on. I know we're looking ahead, but I don't care. It's fun. But I do know that the Celtics, for what, the last 5 years? have played Golden State pretty tough. Every time they match up pretty well.
They split this year, each team winning on the other team's court.
Yeah, and you could take a look at players who are off the court and on the court, and I know there were some injuries and things like that, but they've always been able to play them well. And a lot of that is, you know, Brad Stevens, he did a good job scheming against them. And now, obviously, with Ime Udoka, it just seems the defense is just that much better. The team is that much better, and I believe it will be very competitive. But I think that they match up better against Golden State than maybe they did against the Bucks. Like, I think the Bucks was one of those teams where you looked at that, you look back at that, and I guess with Chris Middleton, it may have been a different story.
It would have been a different story if Chris Middleton was on that roster.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, listen, there's some of those games were close.
The Bucks would have probably won if Chris Middleton was on
that roster.
Yeah,
it went to seven without Middleton. I mean, they were missing a huge piece.
And I know we're looking ahead. You know, Dan just said in my headset, you know, what if the Celtics lose tonight? All right. If they lose tonight, they still get another shot. I mean, this
team has stared a lot of things down. I mean, they've taken some really tough losses and come back the next game and won. So even if they were to lose tonight, which I don't think is going to happen, I think they finish it this evening. I give them a better than even shot going to Miami on Sunday.
This is kind of interesting. The Celtics, they're 7-3 in their last 10 meetings with Golden State, and I just watched
that. Includes Isaiah Thomas. They went to Oracle Arena and snapped the longest home winning streak in the NBA.
Yep.
You know, I mean, they've really played well on the West Coast.
The other thing too is that we have learned that the Celtics doesn't matter if you're home or away. Like they play well on the road. They've played well on the road the entire playoffs.
Defense travels.
It does, and they've been able to pull that off. Now, watching that game last night, though, Fred, and I only watched the first half. And by the way, a little bit of a shocker. It actually got close there for a minute because it looked like they're going to run away with it. I think they got down to seven because Luka's Luka. But the one thing I was thinking while I was watching that is that, man, if Golden State ends up going to the finals, much less win a championship, I mean, how pissed are you if you're Kevin Durant? If you're Kevin Durant, I mean, this hurts your legacy. This hurts your legacy because we all know that Golden State won one before you got there, and it looks like if they don't win another one, they're going to at least got to the finals without you, while you have been sitting there in Brooklyn, and you couldn't get even touch this. You couldn't get anywhere close to the finals with what you have been able to put together, picking your own super team. So I just wonder, like, how many players could you have put in Kevin Durant's position on that Golden State team and then still have won those championships? Now, I do think he was the best player on that team at the time when they won those championships.
Won Finals MVP.
But did that even matter? Did it even matter? Could you have put Jimmy Butler on the team?
Yes.
Yes, and they still would have won a championship. Let's go, like, maybe let's go someone right now as good as Jaylen Brown. Could you put Jaylen Brown on that team?
When Durant got hurt, they didn't win the championship. You can't say that.
Klay Thompson also tore his ACL in that series.
Yeah. So, and once again, Fred, that negates everything because they won without him already. They've won without Kevin Durant. And it looks like right now they're on the verge of winning another one without him. With basically the same, you know, major pieces. They bring in Andrew Wiggins, but I mean, Andrew Wiggins isn't a guy that all of a sudden is like, he's not a top tier player in this league, or he wasn't when they brought him in. He's had a rebirth, or not a rebirth, but he's kind of delivered on a little bit of promise.
He's back to where he was, and I think if he was on a team that didn't have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, he'd be averaging 25 points a game. I mean, he has kind of taken a step back and let the others stay. He understands that it's not his team. His job in the Western Conference Finals, Andrew Wiggins, was basically to guard Luka Doncic.
Let's
score it. Fine, I'll get 18, 19 points a game, but the idea is, all right, you go guard Luka for the series.
Let's go to Steve on line two, if you wouldn't mind. Steve, what's going on, man? You're on the show.
Hey, how's it going? Rich, I'm kind of with you with superstitions, and I don't want to say that we're going to be in the finals too soon, but if they do, you know, make it to the finals and give Golden State a run, what do you think that means for kind of the Celtics future as far as land and free agency? And I know it's a long way away, but you see a guy like Rue Holiday go ahead and join a place like Milwaukee, and yeah, he's playing with Giannis, but I think it's huge.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll look at is the one thing you could say about the Celtics is you've got to be feeling pretty good about
rectum
this offseason because, and yes, and rectum as well. Lots of rectum. But I'm looking at the five players that are free agents after this year, and Luke Kornet might be the biggest name. Sam Hauser, Juwan Morgan, Luke Kornet, Broderick Thomas, and Matt Ryan. They are your free agents. How are you feeling as a Celtics fan?
There's Hauser's to catch out of college. You don't have to deal with a Hauser that's already been in the league.
The fact that you've
got a cheap one off the street.
You've got your stars locked up for a few years for good money, like good value right now. I mean, you got to be feeling
good. That's the reason Brad Stevens sent a first-round pick for Derek White. He wanted to lock this group in for a couple of years. And as far as signing free agents, I mean, there's no cap space to be had. And you're going to have to sign Jaylen Brown again in a couple of years.
Now, what it might do is it could get you some of those veterans who want to come in and be a decent player off the bench.
I'll take the mid-level exception, that kind of stuff.
Yes.
That you can bring in guys like that.
They'll want
and
to
you
come
saw
here.
Brooklyn was loaded with those guys, like LaMarcus Aldridge. I mean, guys that are at the end of their careers and want to go ring chasing, you can get guys like that.
Yeah.
But as far as major free agents, I don't think so. What you have is what you have.
And also, you know, why you don't need that. Like, right now, you don't need that.
Yep.
It seems like you have enough.
Very young team that has that is together for at least another couple of years.
But bolstering the bench with a veteran, you know, as you said, for short money, that is the one benefit that you get when you go this far.
All top-tier teams have that. All top-tier teams have guys that are 36, 37, or even, you know, 34, 35 that are at the end of their careers and go, you know what? I can give this team 5-10 minutes off the bench occasionally.
Who's Golden State have that's old?
No one. That's the other thing about Golden State. You want to talk about a team that's set up. I think Draymond's 32. Klay Thompson's 32. I mean, who else? I think Curry's 34.
And once you got rid of Kevin Durant and you didn't have to spend that money on him, you're in a fairly comfortable spot.
Jordan Poole and Kuminga, who's not even playing right now. Wiggins is 28. I mean, they got guys.
So basically, your point is wrong, because if the Celtics play the Golden State, there won't be some veteran on either team that has just latched on.
Well, no, we're talking about in the future.
We're talking about like in the free future agency.
What success does for you?
You said that all successful teams have a...
No, I didn't say that.
I said that.
John said that.
There are a lot of, like, Brooklyn had a bunch of them.
Yeah, and they lost in the first round to a team without one.
It's not a make or break point.
But defense travels, John.
It does travel.
But
that's right.
How much is it?
Defense travels a lot, Fred.
How much is Iguodala making?
Make a t-shirt of that.
Like, what's Iguodala making? Because Iguodala is, like, the ideal guy that we're talking about.
He's not on Golden State anymore.
Yes, he is. He's hurt. But he is
on the team. He's not playing. All right. We'll be back in just a moment. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Yeah!
Is this Balls to the Wall?
It is Balls to the Wall, but it's not the song Balls to the Wall by Accept. This is Metallica, who I'll be seeing in 2 days. What up, Chuck Armstrong, CYY? Man.
What?
I did go to Media Day yesterday. I looked super cool, too, because I rode my bike. So I had my bike helmet on.
Wait, you went to Media Day for Boston College?
It's not Media Day. It's just picking up your media passes. So I rode my bike there. I had the old... I have not committed to the butt pad yet, but the weather's been nice enough to ride the bike. So I went over there, and I cut through a bunch of people graduating and stuff. And I, you know, hauled ass. I was Quicksilver, man. I'm like Kevin Bacon, just shredding. Yes, Dan?
You should tell a story about how yesterday we talked about... So, Fred, Rich is going on Sunday.
Yes.
And there's no parking, obviously, at Harvard Stadium. There's nothing around there. And just the different designs that we came up with on how Rich could get to Boston Calling. Because taking the T sucks if you want to get off at Harvard Square and then walk a mile and a half.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
All of it involves a lot of walking if you're going to take public transportation.
Yeah,
so.
And I'm probably okay with that. But, like, I've also learned that if you're to take, like, an Uber somewhere, it's a total dick move to just, once you get stuck in traffic, saying, I'll get out here. Because then the guy doesn't get paid. He's stuck in the traffic, and he's got to wait, and you've monopolized his time. So I'm not going to take an Uber, because it's going to be that situation.
I think you still get paid.
You've paid for the ride, haven't you?
Yeah, you paid for the ride. You've paid for it until the destination. My thinking is, My thought has been that they charge you for the full ride.
So I thought that when you got stuck in traffic, there was a bump up in what they get paid. That's not just like, hey, I got you from A to B. I thought there was some sort of adjustment. Like let's say I was
like a surge, or
yeah, or like they adjust the price, don't they? If that's the case, like if something was supposed to take 5 minutes to get to, and you get stuck in traffic, and it takes you an hour, you're telling me he gets paid the same? I don't know if that's the case.
Don't.
So I've always thought that was a dick move to do that. So I will not Uber. Maybe I'll ride my super cool bike again.
So you got media passes. Now are you going alone?
No. I'm bringing my son. And you know what's weird is that I actually I don't really even need them because I ended up getting regular passes as well. So the media one is just in case I want to go take cool pictures or something. Like down.
Who's
the
guy in C? Who's the guy in CYY?
It's Chuck. It's Chuck Arnold. He does the Mandatory Metallica up there, and so they're coming down to see that show.
Huh? Sending a whole busload of people from Portland.
I think I'm going to pound some brews. Metallica never goes to Maine. I think they've been to Maine 3 times in the history of Metallica. So they just never. It's like metal bands never come to Boston. They're always in Worcester. You got to take a road trip to end up seeing anything.
So you've been communicating with the guy in Portland?
Yeah. Because I know he's a big Metallica fan, and I thought I'd say hello to him.
So you reached out and you said, "Hey, you like Metallica?"
I said, "Going to Metallica? Well, let's get a beer."
Nice. Because it's you.
Yeah, I know.
Affiliate relations.
When you
right
find
there.
A fellow metal nerd, it's nice to like speak that secret language.
You didn't know any of this, Fred?
What?
What Rich is talking about. You had no idea that the guy liked Metallica and works for one of our affiliates.
We better. We do liners for Mandatory Metallica with Chuck Armstrong. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know it off the top of my head. I mean, I don't hear Metallica and immediately go, I read a liner once for CYY. But I think Rich is much more involved in this whole thing than I am. I don't know a lot of what's going on.
Somebody said, I'm in New York City and I'm in traffic in an Uber. I get charged an unknown fee that I get to find out in the end.
Well, then give him the traffic fee. I want out. If you're stopped and you're stuck in traffic,
if you want out, you're out.
I want out.
I mean, if you want out, you're out. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
But does he have the right to charge you?
I don't know.
Like, will he drive all the way to the destination before he turns it off so he gets the proper amount?
If he's stuck in traffic, he's going that way anyway.
Well, yeah, but that, does he have the right to charge you once you're out of the car?
They have a right to charge you, it seems like, for a million things. Like a waiting fee if they've been waiting for 10 seconds, so... It seems like they can get away with a lot.
I was out in the parking lot yesterday. Sorry, Nick and I were sort of, when we were leaving, we were talking to somebody else, and an Uber pulled in. He came around on almost two wheels, but then when he just got in front of the door, he just laid on the horn. And it went for about 6 seconds of just, you know, laying on the horn, like, all right, where is my pickup? Someone's supposed to be standing in the lobby, and then he just drove away.
Oh,
I was like, oh, maybe he's in the wrong place or something.
Yeah. I almost see you later.
It's like in front of it's impossible to get one after a Red Sox game.
Exactly.
And then you have to talk to the cabbies who, for the first time since Uber came along, are in a position of power, and then that's a whole negotiation. Like, where are you going, Newton Center? I don't know.
I don't want to take you there. That's
50 bucks. And you're like, no, 40 bucks. And they're like, let me think about it. Like, they're in a position of complete power, completely corrupt. So when you go to Metallica, now, are your passes like VIP passes?
I do have VIP passes, yes.
And you got them through the station?
Yes. Yes, I did.
You've been working hard on this.
No, I thought I was just going to go with the media passes, but I was just offered the VIP passes from the station. I didn't even ask for those.
Yeah, because you can't be going to a festival at our age. And slumming it in the crowd.
No. You need a private bathroom. You need somewhere to, you know.
Yeah. I need to be able to take a clean dump. There's no question.
Well, yeah, there's no...
At a festival? Come on.
Oh, dude, I do it all the time. I've got no shame in that. Okay. I've got no problem with that. Especially at a festival. You've been to those like private festival bathrooms at night.
I'm not spending 12 hours there either.
But it doesn't seem like a dump would be needed. But it is interesting that Rich won't take the top paper off a pile.
Yeah.
But he will take a dump
at a festival.
At a festival.
Because one is just a second. What is a second of inconvenience? Oh, I'll take the one underneath it. The other one will ruin your day. If you do. Like, what else am I going to do? I have to take a dump. And I think there's this like benefits and you know thing that you put in your head. Yeah, if I don't take a dump, then I'm going to make a mess and it's going to ruin everything. A piece, right, piece of paper. It's like, all right, fine.
So what time are you heading? Like, are you going to spend all day at the festival or are you just going to see Weezer?
It's going
to
be like, I think we'll probably catch the very end of Glass Animals right into Weezer and then obviously Weezer into Metallica. And the way that they do it, it's awesome. There's two stages. So as soon as one band is done, the other one starts. So there's no hemming or slash.
Are they both in the same area? I haven't been over there yet to the Harvard.
It's great.
Are they side by side, or do you have to turn around?
It's left and right. Okay. No. It's left and right. Red stage, blue stage. And so as soon as Weezer's done, I think it's minutes later, Metallica starts back up.
There's a trampling.
And there's a trampling. And Wallach's favorite band, Nine Inch Nails, is playing tonight. I'm sure he is very upset that he will not be seeing that.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, it should
Cheap
be
Trick playing tonight or tomorrow.
Ooh, I don't know. A Cheap Trick might be. I don't remember. I don't know. Tonight's
if they're playing, they buried them on the day they're playing because I don't recall even seeing their name.
Well, Avril Lavigne, I know, is on one of the things. If you like the skater BOI, she's an anarchist.
She plays third to last, I believe, tonight.
Yeah. Well, she's playing the same night as Nine Inch Nails. Wow. Well, I know that there's a band right before Nine Inch Nails, which is excellent, called Rufus Du Sol. That's on the other stage. But yeah, the Avril Lavigne thing's weird.
Cheap Trick is tonight.
Cheap Trick is tonight with Nine Inch Nails. That's nice. By the way, I would love to see Cheap Trick.
Cheap Trick will be in bed before Nine Inch Nails. You don't think that they're playing at 5:15 when the gates open?
Well, sure. There's probably something in the rider that says they can't play anytime after 5:15.
You know what's funny is that band was massive.
Yep. Yeah. Live at Budokan was enormous.
That was they had, I think Live at Budokan might have been their third successful album.
Wow.
But they had that, like, Dream Police, and then they had the record after that. Then they had Live at Budokan.
Surrender. I mean, it's like, yeah, they were huge.
I mean, they were a giant, giant band, and it's funny now that they're just as... Probably because the best thing they probably could have ever done is to have broken up for like two decades and gotten back together.
Well, The Flame, remember, that was like a huge hit.
That was the comeback in the 80s.
So John saw that tour that came that was Cheap Trick opening for Def Leppard, opening for Journey. And John to this day says that the quality basically went in reverse. Yeah. So Cheap Trick killed it. I don't mean to put words in your mouth. No. Def Leppard, excellent. And then Journey came on. It was a sloppy mess.
Yes. That's about right.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what Cheap Trick and Def Leppard were fantastic, and Journey was horrible.
It's the curse of Steve Perry. You got rid of Steve, and what are you going to do?
Yeah, what do the two bands have in common? Oh, original members, like, you know, the actual singer.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.